everybody. It's Stacy from Must Do Disney, and you are in the place to be, the Disney Nerds Podcast. Check it out.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. This is show number 74. I'm Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. Joining me here today, we have from For the Love of Disney, Jennifer. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
I'm great. Are you feeling better after all that running?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it was a great weekend. And mostly, I just wish we all could have been down there a little longer. It was a really fun weekend.
I agree with that completely. And also here today from Once Upon a Time Travel, your Disney travel specialist, Jimmy, what's happening?
I am fantastic. So happy to be here. I think this is the first time we are recording since my trip to Walt Disney World. So I am a little bummed about being home, but for the most part, I'm happy to be here. And I would be remiss if I did not bring up before the show, I talked, you know, about my wife and how much she loved Jennifer's other podcast, For the Delightful Life. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I did not bring it up.
Oh,
so,
thank you.
It's really fantastic. I think it's a great positive message. And for all you podcast listeners out there who are looking for that nice positive message, please check out Jennifer's other show.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Outstanding.
Nice little plug. Perfect. Free plug. I love it.
Yeah, you got to love free press, right?
That's right.
There you go. So it is March 2015. We are fresh back from our trip. But March means a couple of things at Disney, and there's lots happening. Number one, it means today is the start of the Flower and Garden Festival over at Epcot, which is a wonderful reason to go back to Epcot. So I do have to work on figuring that out.
I did, while I was walking around, not that long ago, World Showcase, I kind of was in the, right by America, and was walking to that restroom in the back, and I saw the big barbecue pit, Sam, and it brought back memories of Flower and Garden last year.
It does.
When we were at the smokehouse and had the Piggylicious cupcake and
yes.
Beer with the jalapenos and... so it was kind of cool seeing the big barbecue pit out there, and kind of brought back some memories, which was pretty cool.
What wasn't cool was that it wasn't opened, but at least the Woody topiary and some other topiaries had started to arrive before the Flower and Garden Festival started. So that's always cool.
I missed all the park fun, seeing what was updated there. But when we ran through Epcot, I did see some of the topiaries, and it's so cool to see. I know in the last year or two, you know, they started to make their faces look so cool, and it looks like more and more of them are just that really neat updated version of topiaries. And so it was really fun to see for a few minutes through World Showcase, at least.
Some of the new topiaries this year, we mentioned them a couple of shows ago. One is Anna and Elsa, which are located at the World Showcase Plaza. And I know that the Disney Parks blog just posted some pictures of that, and they look pretty good.
You know, just a quick side note, talking about our trip down there and all the buzz we hear in the Disney community about Frozen and God, when's it going to stop? It's so much, blah, blah, blah. And I was talking with Sam on the phone while we were down there, and we kind of had a little conversation about that. And Sam's like, well, how much do you see in the parks? And I'm like, you know what? Not that much.
That much when you really sit back and think about it.
Not that much. I mean, you may find a little stand in a store or something like that. And, I mean, they move that stuff around based upon how it sells. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They are masters of moving the things to the front of the store that people buy, regardless of what it is. That's what they do.
What's going to drag people into the store? But, I mean, other than some items in the store, I mean, and now the topiaries, which, I mean, okay. You don't see it that much.
So looking at the list of topiaries, there are three that are new this year. One is Anna and Elsa at World Showcase Plaza. The other is Goofy About Spring, which features Goofy, Chip, and Dale and friends. And this is the main entrance. And believe it or not, this is the first time they had Chip and Dale topiary. How about that?
Oh, wow.
Nice.
We love Chip and Dale. I would have loved to have seen that. No one would get a kick out of it.
It's amazing that they haven't had any before now.
Right? Yeah.
There's a great new shirt at the Disney parks, Jennifer. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a Chip and Dale shirt, and it says, "My family tree is full of nuts."
That's awesome.
That is good. You got to love their merchandising. That's right.
They're really doing a good job with the merchandise. There's the one with the genie that says, "I am here. What is your other two wishes?"
You have these shirts, don't you, Jimmy? I'm thinking you have.
Well, actually, my daughter bought that one for her boyfriend.
Nice.
I do have the one with Prince Philip on it that says, "Sorry, girls, I'm taken."
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's good. So in addition to all of the new topiaries, we have the Illuminated Gardens, a bigger butterfly house. I do plan to get down there in April, so we'll talk more about Flower and Garden there. But the other thing that March brings is March Madness. And this is the second annual Disney Nerds Podcast March Madness Tournament, which we just launched earlier today.
What's so funny about that is you posted the bracket and mentioned that people will be able to eventually, very soon, vote online on our website. But a few people have responded in the Disney Nerds group after you posted it, and they're like, "Oh, good, some brackets that I can actually follow and enjoy."
So if you remember last year, you'll find it in our shows, we did Attractions Countdown, where we ended up with the top Disney attraction according to the Disney Nerds. And Jimmy, do you remember number one from that?
It had to be Haunted. It was either Haunted Mansion or Tower of Terror.
It was the Haunted Mansion. Absolutely.
It was the Haunted Mansion. Yeah, I thought it was.
So this year we changed gears completely, and it is Movie Madness. So we're looking at the top Disney animated feature. Now, here's how we came up with the list. You need at least 64 to do a full NCAA bracket. So if you take Disney animated features and add in Pixar animated features, and I'm talking only first run movies, so nothing that was direct to DVD or nothing that was released by a different studio other than Walt Disney Animation or Disney Pixar. There were actually 68 movies if you Google and find that list of them. So we ranked our favorites as the hosts of the show. We then seeded them accordingly. There were a couple, obviously three, that didn't make the list, and I bet you can't figure out which three they are, but somebody probably will. So I think we did good with the seedings. There are four brackets. The easiest way to do four brackets was Magic Kingdom, Epcot, Animal Kingdom, and Hollywood Studios, and we'll be talking about those brackets in future shows as we drill down to the Disney Nerds Podcast number one animated movie, and that's going to be fun.
I have to say, I wish I was around last year. I think I came just after you guys finished. This is so hard for me. I loved when we seated them because I could pick lots of movies that I liked. But it is so difficult for me to pit one movie against another. And I'm stuck on, like, the third round. So, I don't know. I'll have to sleep on it and try to finish it tomorrow.
I'll be honest with you, Jennifer. I probably filled that bracket out last year probably three times, and I don't know that it affects, like, the winner.
Yeah.
But things do go different. Like, each time I thought about it, I can definitely – it's kind of one of those things, like, people always ask me, well, what's your favorite park?
Right. Well, it's really, all of them for different reasons.
Well,
you
know, hard. Yeah.
I wouldn't say all of them. I'd say, well, it's Magic Kingdom, or maybe it's Epcot. But I like them for two completely different reasons, so it's very hard to compare.
Yep.
That's the same with this, you know, no spoilers, but there are new movies in the last year or two, maybe year and two, that are so good But then how do you compare them to classics? And how, you know, I mean, it's just, it's,
sure.
I don't know, just, so much. We're going to have some, good. Yeah, we're going to have some great conversations, I think.
Yeah, just being a classic carries a little bit of weight, doesn't it?
Right.
It does.
Or, you know, those things that we grew up with, depending on, you know, what decade was our, you know, best Disney decade that we watched movies in. So, yeah, they're all going to carry, you know, weight for different reasons. And I think we'll have some really fun discussions around it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's important. Remember, this is your list. And I think we're all going to have different things. Because to your point, Jen, I am a fan of the movies that were in the theaters when I was young. So, right. You know, that dates everybody. But to me, that's the Aristocats. It's 101 Dalmatians. It's the original Winnie the Pooh. The movies I remember seeing as a kid. I won't tell you which ones.
Actually,
see, Sam, I thought you were going to say that was like Snow White.
No, that's Ed. He's not here to defend himself.
Oh, poor Ed.
You know what? I was going to say Ed, actually.
I won't even tell you which ones were in the theater when I was
Well, young. But this will come out as we move forward. And I think that's what it should be about. So I know there are movies that I have picked in my bracket that my kids will be like, there's no way that movie's better than this one.
Right.
But I'm not picking for them. You do your own bracket. It'll be completely different than mine. So this will be fun and something I look forward to seeing here from the Absolutely. From the show, which is cool. Okay, so all of that said, we know what's coming. I think it's a great opportunity to – we just got back. Jen, you did some running. We talked about that last show. Jimmy and I were in some of the parks. In fact, if you hit thedisneynerds.com, you will see a photo report from February 2015, and that's really a lot of pictures that I took walking around the park and looking through them. It reminds me where I was and what we were doing. So,
you guys, I want to tell you two guys, fantastic job on the recording you did for the Run Disney stuff. It was really cool. I listened to it on my way home. And you guys did a great job. I learned a lot. And I also was thinking to myself, when did these two record this? I felt like I was there the whole time. But I didn't realize you guys had recorded it at Nakusi's where the meet was originally supposed to start. Yeah. Y'all kind of mentioned that toward the end. But when I was listening to them, I'm like, God, was I that intoxicated that they recorded a whole show and I didn't see it? Goodness.
That's hilarious. I love
So that was one of the first things that I did. You want to talk about the meet a little bit, Jimmy?
We actually I'll take full responsibility for it. Complete rookie mistake on the meet on my part by thinking to start at Narcoosie's. So I've never been to Narcoosie, so I didn't realize it was kind of a hoity-toity type of place. My thought process was we wanted to be at Tambu Lounge at the Polynesian for 9 o'clock for Wishes. So my original thought process was to get to the stop before Polynesian, which the last time I was there would have been Grand Floridian. Apparently right now the monorails run the other way. So
yeah, there's lots of weird things happening.
There's lots of that. And so my thought was someplace at the Grand Floridian. I've heard good things about Narcoosie's, but I've never been there. So we made some changes on the fly, but I think everything worked out well. You and Jennifer stayed back a little just to make sure anybody that might have showed up.
And we recorded a show while we stayed back. So there you go.
So it really worked out. So we all met at Tambu at the Polynesian, which ended up being really, really cool. Really cool area to hang out. And we got to see some old friends and meet some new ones. So it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
I got to check out the new Pineapple and I, which isn't really that new anymore. But I hadn't been. And the new lobby of the Polynesian is gorgeous.
Beautiful, huh?
I didn't think I'd mind so much. I thought, you know, it's not a resort I stay at all the time, so I don't have this attachment to the water feature. And then when I started seeing pictures of it coming down, sort of like the hat, I'm like, well, wait a minute. That's supposed to be there. But gosh, to see the new Poly lobby in person, it is breathtaking.
That's gorgeous.
It is. And they're not done over there. There's still so much construction happening. I can't wait to get the Trader Sam's. I really can't.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I mean, I can't even imagine. Man. To stay at one of those little bungalows over the water.
They're pretty cool looking.
How ridiculous. I mean, to be honest with you, unless something happens in the next few years that I join DVC, I probably will never have the chance to stay there. But either you guys probably.
Shoot, Sam and I are DVC members, and I'm pretty sure probably, that there's no way I'm staying there.
Yeah, when you put it in context, yeah.
Yeah.
One night there for a week at the boardwalk.
Probably, yeah, right.
That's what it comes down to.
You guys probably have, you know, a better chance than I do of getting there, being DVC members, both of you.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how availability is for those things. But it's definitely – so these are the bungalows, which I believe can accommodate up to 12 people. And if you look at a conversion of dollars to DVC points, it's $2,500 a night. I just – Now it's 12 people, so okay, you can get three families. Even if you split that by three, no, I'm sorry. I'm over
so
the
maybe,
boardwalk for a week.
Maybe you and Jennifer, if you can plan it at the right time.
You're looking to get out there with us, is that what you're saying?
Well, no. I'm just saying maybe you can each chip in.
We can cram all of our families.
Yeah.
Just how many one people night can you fit? Or something.
That's, I think, what it would be. It'd be a one-night
the
thing.
The other really, really cool place, and this is kind of off-base, off-topic, but have either one of you stayed at the Treehouse Villas?
No.
Have never stayed. I've seen them. I've been on boats past them many times. I've never stayed.
The boat that from Port Orleans to Downtown Disney passes.
Exactly the boat I was on when I saw them.
Yeah. God, how cool are they?
They're cool looking.
Very cool. I think all the Grand Villas are, I mean, those are obviously the most unique ones, probably the Polly and the Treehouse Villas. But, man, some of the Grand Villas are bigger than my and Kyle's first apartment. Like, they're gigantic and they're beautiful.
Yes.
So... Yeah, I'm not sure we'll ever stay in one of those anywhere because, like Sam said, you look at, you know, unless we need a place for 12 people, I'd rather, you know, go 2 or 3 weeks out of the year instead of one or two nights. So
sure,
yeah, that's
sure.
it.
So are all the bungalows Grand Villas?
I think so, yeah.
Yes, okay. Yes, they all
okay.
are.
Okay.
20 of them, 18 of them. I don't
that's
exactly
crazy.
Remember.
It's pretty ridiculous the way they look. I mean, it's pretty magical.
So if you look at my photo report, you'll see the first place I went was to Mento Moray to check out the new Haunted Mansion stuff.
We went there as well.
Yeah, you have to
go
there.
Is our first trip? Just like, I mean, I don't – other than the sneak peek Sam gave us when we were there
last
October.
In.
Yeah. Yeah, we fell through the door that happened to be opened.
The merchandise is incredible, isn't it?
It's pretty ridiculous.
I saw it on our last trip, though. It's pretty cool, but they have a feature, of course, where you can get your picture taken, and then it's sort of like
pretty creepy.
One of those what is that? Reticular? No, I don't remember what it's called. But where they have it's like your face now, and then your face as the happy haunt, and they are creepy. I'm not sure.
They are.
I don't like,
when
I don't
you
know.
Look at your skin dissolving, and it's a skeleton. I know what you're talking about.
It's
I did
so
not get
weird.
One because I think it's creepy. I did not get
it's
one.
It's really creepy. And the picture they had on the wall, at least while we were there, was like a young girl. I'm like, this is so creepy.
Yes.
I can't do it.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Pretty neat, but definitely not my...
Did you see where they get them from?
No.
Like there's an area that
where you pick them up. You mean?
Yeah, where you pick them up.
Okay.
There's a, like a painting on the wall, which is interesting. And then every now and then, like a light will change, and the painting parts of the painting will glow. And then there's a little hole, like a box in the wall, and they open the little box, and that's where your picture shows up.
Well, does the box open?
On the back side, the,
yeah, like it looks like it just slides open and it's a picture appears. That's what it.
Yeah,
it's kind of
right.
cool. It's a cool thing. So that's the first place I went, Jimmy. Where's the first place you went?
The first day we were there, we went to Magic Kingdom.
Nice. So all right, first thing because that's where I went. Now remember, you're with your family. I'm by myself. I'm going in, going right to Mento Moray.
I think the first thing we did was went and ride Space Mountain.
Nice. And there's nothing
like
that's
walked
wonderful.
Right on. We got there. So our first day was that Sunday. We drove in that Saturday, stayed at a Holiday Inn on 192. So Sunday morning we woke up, left there, went and checked in to Caribbean Beach. Which obviously I didn't sleep at all. Part of it was driving the drive, and the other part was staying up for the drive and drinking coffee at 11 o'clock at night.
Hey, that'll do it.
And you know, and then you get there at 1 and you can't sleep. Plus, not to mention, I can never sleep the night before we get to Disney.
Too excited to
sleep. Yeah, I'm too excited. I probably Santa slept Claus is coming tonight. I can't it's sleep. Ridiculous. Mom. That's you think as often as we go, and I even posted this on Facebook that night at like 4:30 in the morning. I'm like, you think as often as we go, I would get over this, but I still get that excited that I can't sleep. So I'm waking them up at like 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. I'm starting to wake Kim and the kids up. I'm like, all right, it's time to go check in the Caribbean Beach so we can go to
nice.
Go to Disney. So we went and checked in and parked the car and then went and hopped on a bus. They told us what building we'd be in. Our room wasn't ready yet, but they told us what building we would be in. So we went and parked close to that building and went and hopped on a bus.
So what time of day did you get the Magic Kingdom to go over to Space Mountain? Mid-morning?
No, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Okay, so you're pretty quick.
I think we got there about 9:30. The park opened for 9. I think by the time we got there, it was about 9:30.
And reason I mention it, the crowd levels were relatively low while I was there for a couple of days. Is that true for your week?
Pretty low. The only thing, to be honest, and, you know, I'm not normally a complainer, but I was pretty disappointed in Hollywood Studios the whole week. And not that I was disappointed specifically. I mean, I see the writing on the wall, and I'm not so short-sighted that I'm not excited about the things that's going to be. But they've closed up so many people eaters and stuff like that there.
Yeah.
It seems like the attractions that are left, the lines are very long. I mean, I didn't ride Tower of Terror all week this trip. Tower of Terror had a longer wait than the Mine Train, than
that's crazy.
Soarin'. I mean, it was an hour and a half, 2 hour wait the whole time we were there. It was that long. And I think it's just because there's not a whole lot of options. I mean,
yeah.
As much as people were kind of tired of the American Idol experience and the backlot tour, those attractions sucked up a lot of people.
Add the Jack Sparrow thing in there, too.
So those things, you take all of those people that those attractions ate up and you spit them back out in the park. What do you do?
They got to get in line somewhere.
So there's just not enough attractions there. And, you know, again, I see the long haul that's going to be really, really good. But for this trip, it was a little bit frustrating. With that being said, every other park I felt like was pretty – the crowds were pretty low.
So the reason I ask about that is you purposely picked this week and not the week before for some very strategic reasons.
Absolutely.
If you back up one weekend, it was Mardi Gras, President's Day, and Valentine's Day all in the same week. And some of the pictures from the parks had lines that were unbelievably long.
It was ridiculous. My wife's boss and his fiance Karen and her daughter and another friend, they went and they told me. I mean, they still enjoyed their time, but they were telling me that it was pretty busy.
Some of the pictures that I had personally seen were when It's a Small World gets the 90 minutes, you know it's packed. That's like Christmas busy.
It's like, yeah, I was going to say.
We didn't see anything like that.
Well, and that's the
Not in any other park other than Hollywood Studios. I can't even imagine what the wait was in Hollywood Studios the week before I was there because the waits were ridiculous the week I was there, which every other park was, you know, the waits weren't.
So that 1 week wait, my point is, think that through because waiting a weekend, think about how much more you got done because you weren't waiting in those lines.
Absolutely. You know where you get that information from?
Where do you get that?
Touringplans.com.
Man, I wish I had some discount.
You can get a discount.
Really?
If you use – yeah, we actually have a partnership now with touringplans.com. And if you use the discount code 15NERDS, that's 15 nerds, you get 20% off a subscription. I think the normal subscription is about $14, so with 20% off, I think it's less than $10.
That's awesome.
For the year.
I need to renew. I need to get one for Disneyland.
Crowd calendar is fan. We use the crowd calendar more than we use the actual touring plans, but we also use the Lines app.
Yes.
The Lines app is, in my opinion, far superior to the actual Disney app.
So I think we've talked about this before. I believe, and actually I'm going to bring it up now because it's a good segue to where I wanted to go next. The second place that I went after I left Memento Mori was to Peter Pan and the recently opened Interactive Queue. And the reason I bring it up is I believe that they manipulate that wait time to discourage people from getting in line.
They certainly do.
And the value of touring plans in the Line app is it's what somebody just experienced, not what Disney wants you to think.
Right. So the Lines app will tell you, here's the posted wait, but this is what we expect you to wait. And there's always, almost always, a difference. And the expected wait is almost always shorter than the posted wait. But sometimes the expected wait is way shorter. I mean, sometimes the posted wait's 40 minutes and the expected wait time's 25 or 26 minutes.
Yep, exactly.
Which is a big deal.
So did you get Jimmy back to Peter Pan and the new interactive queue?
You're going to love this because I skipped a perfectly good – I say I skipped it, but we had a fast pass.
There's nothing wrong with that.
We could have waited 10 minutes and gone done our fast pass, but rather than do that, we went and waited in probably a 35-minute line to go through the queue.
So I did it
– So worth it, by the way.
I did it during extra magic hours, which I believe, by the way, is with extra magic hours, there's no fast pass plus returns, so I think the standby queue moves faster during that time frame.
Right. We had a good opportunity to kind of play around in the queue. I mean, it's beautiful to begin with.
Yeah. Number one, you're inside. You're inside.
It's inside. That's a big deal. I would say, Jennifer, I don't want to give you too many spoilers because you hadn't done it. But I would say that the queue is just as nice as the ride, actually, now.
There's a lot of cool so the 25 minutes that was posted, I felt like it went quickly. And that's the goal of an interactive queue, right?
Honestly,
make you not feel like you're in line.
I know this is blasphemy to some people, but that ride is just not that cool. Like,
it's
there's
not that
a nostalgia
long.
Factor, but the ride is not that
great. It's nothing groundbreaking.
So to add that to the queue, I don't know, that changes the experience. Then it's like you have this wonderful experience in the queue, and you also get to ride a ride before you leave, which is cool. That's really cool.
It is. It was definitely worth it, and the Peter Pan interactive queue makes it go longer. As I mentioned, I waited about 25 minutes, and it didn't feel like I was waiting because I was experiencing something new. Now, that's because it was my first time. After you do that multiple times, it may just feel like waiting. Oh, this is no big deal, but we'll see how
you know what? It's still better waiting, though. It's still better to wait inside now that the way they have it than it was before, which was just switchbacks that were outside and it was hot and it was terrible. They did a really good job with the theming, even before you get to the parts that are kind of that have things going on, because there's some parts that you get to that have things going on that are interactive. Even before you get to those points, though, it's still very beautiful. They did a really, really good job.
The one thing that I noticed, and this is a shout out for Ed, did you notice anything different about the loading area, Jimmy, where you actually get on the boat?
I don't think so.
So the old turnstile that used to be there that you had to squeeze the kids through, it's gone.
Great.
It's not there anymore. So this goes back to Ed and used to you mentioning that the sound of the turnstiles getting into the park. There's no turnstile single file line to get into Peter Pan. In fact, they had these areas marked on the ground, which are similar to when you load a roller coaster, right? Everybody gets into the first section. Then when people move, you get into the next section. So there's three squares. And the cast member was much further up in the line.
Oh,
how many
what?
Do you have? Stand
there
here.
Was.
How many
right.
do you have? Stand there. Here.
There were squares, right?
There were squares.
Step in this square, step in this square, and when the party ahead of you moved to the next square. Right?
And then you're knew you're ahead of time that has to be more efficient to loading because now they had two or three people, and they could see if the three people were going to fit, right? Because if you have two adults and a child, you're going to fit. Three adults, maybe not. It depends.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy to me that the lines for that thing get so long because of the nature that it's continuously loading.
It's continuously loading, but it's not it's different than an Omni mover where constantly because you got to wait for one of the ships to come in and then it leaves and then another ship, so there's a pause between sitting.
Does it?
Well, it's a continuous movement, but my point is wait here for 1 second. Okay, now you can go. Wait here for 1 second. Okay, now you can go.
So they're spaced out.
They're spaced out a little.
Where
which...
something like Spaceship Earth or
Finding Nemo.
Nemo or it's just keep Buzz walking. Lightyear. They're all next to each
other. They're much closer together.
They're much closer together. I get you.
Well, either way, that one thing was missing from Peter Pan, and I thought, that's wow. Yeah. All right, so that's it. There's three things I did the first day when I got there, and it's late at night, right? I went to Memento Mori, I then went to Peter Pan, then I went to Casey's.
Ah.
And there's a change at Casey's that could be quite controversial to some people.
I know. I think I know where you're going.
Yes. And
they kicked out a bunch of tables, and they want people to eat at the bar. Is that what you're talking about?
So what there's a little bit of that, but here's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Did you get a hot dog meal? I'm assuming that at some point in time you went to Casey's and got a hot dog. Come on, Jimmy, you're
the
nerd.
The first day.
The
first meal we ate in Walt Disney World. I've got a barbecue dog.
Barbecue slaw dog. I love it.
Yep. One of my favorite meals in Disney, and not that it's like this great fine dining meal. It's just.
Oh, not at all.
But it's delicious, and it's big and sloppy. And
one of the pictures, so I got a little more story for you. One of the pictures in my photo report, there is a barbecue slaw dog. I was the last person of the day. Like, they closed and locked the door behind me. This is after the goodnight kiss. That's how late it was, okay? And when I ordered it, the gentleman in the back looked out and said, "You're the last person of the day." And he gave me a thumbs up. And I swear he gave me everything that was left in his bin. So I had all of the pulled pork and all of the coleslaw.
What's interesting is about that story is that most of the time the establishments you're in are locking the door when you leave. You're the last guy to go.
Yeah. So they were the entrance door in the corner they were locking.
Got it.
Now here's what I wanted to get to. Casey's and other Disney quick service restaurants have changed their French fries.
Oh my God. Say it ain't so.
French fries at Casey's now are like Steak and Shake.
They're fine.
I can't get enough cheese on my fries.
Oh my God. So you didn't notice that all the tables in front of the main wall where the TV used to be they're all gone? They got rid of the bleachers. And
yes, yeah. Oh, yeah. I noticed all that. Absolutely. Yes, there's more seating.
And now all the tables are gone.
The French fries are different. So, Jen, does this matter to your kids that the French fries are different than they used to be?
Not at all.
No? See, mine would go one way or the other.
I think they're little enough that French fries are French fries. And I don't agree with that. But, it doesn't matter to them at all.
French fries were fine.
So they're the skinny fries, though. You can't. You get that thing of cheese. You can't. Oh man! Somebody out there is going. He's right.
Like shoestring fries or whatever.
That's what they are now.
So
that's what they are now.
Shoestring fries.
Yes, they are. Look at the go out. Look at the picture. It's about halfway down. You'll see my barbecue slaw doll and the French fries. Go look at it and let me know.
They're smaller, but I would.
They're shoestring fries. I'm telling you.
They're not. Oh my God.
Yes, they are.
You put way too much thought in these fries.
Only because my children would be like, no.
Well, it probably has a lot to do with the fact that you were the only person in there, so you had your choice of seats.
Didn't matter, yeah. And in fact, I went outside.
The seating situation there is way more dire than the fries, I promise. My wife, we hung out in the store right there, and we scoped out the table. We figured out who's getting close to being finished with their meal. And as soon as they were done, my wife went and dove in and, just got some dirty looks by this couple.
But it worked out.
They had to stand up and eat at this bar now on the wall. I'm like, it's crazy. The seating there is ridiculous.
So the things I wrote down for Magic Kingdom were no turnstile in the queue, French fry change, and then I took a whole bunch of pictures of the hub. The hub that wasn't opened yet. It was dark. You'll see them. That was one of my last days at Magic Kingdom. But a few days later, they opened this whole thing up, right?
Goodness, the hub is open.
So I did not see it. Tell us about it, Jim.
It's actually very, very beautiful. There's a new water fountain there. There's the little bronze-looking statues.
Are they the same statues that used to be around the circle?
I guess it's got to be. I don't know. But there's a fountain. There's statues on each side. Now, with that being said, heading up Main Street, the hub on the right-hand side, the Tomorrowland side, was not open. Just the one on the left was open when I was there. They just had opened that one. It's beautiful, though. It was all opened up, but you can see how they could easily contain it. And there are scanners. So it's designed to be fast pass wishes viewing area. There are signs that say sponsored by Pandora.
There you go. Fireworks jewelry.
Which brings up a point that we kind of talked about a little bit before the show. My wife actually took a picture of the sign on the left-hand side sign where we were, and it sparked a little bit of controversy because it kind of contradicts itself. So the top of the sign, the metal portion of the sign, says Plaza Garden East, and then the painted portion below that says Disney Fast Pass Plus West Fireworks viewing.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make any sense
at all. So the actual metal part is incorrect because it is on the west side. I mean, if you're walking up Main Street, Casey's is on the west side. So I don't get where the Plaza Garden East part comes at. Completely contradicting.
There's got to be an explanation for that somewhere. But this is.
I've yet to find somebody. I posted a picture of it in the Disney Nerds group, and I've yet to have any solid explanation. Some people have said, they were questioning which way the Magic Kingdom was on a map. But Main Street pretty much runs from the entrance north. Straight north. I mean, it runs pretty much true north to the castle.
Yeah, absolutely does. It's true to the compass.
And one of the other things in the post in the group was talking about how lush the grass looks.
So it does look very lush in pictures.
You know why?
Well, so here's my question. I was just going to ask that. When I was there the night before it opened, it was dirt.
Yeah.
So what did they do overnight?
Yeah, they laid down some fake turf.
So I wonder if it's always going to be that way or if that was just to get it open sooner.
No, I think it'll always be that way. I think that's the only way it could handle the traffic of being a fireworks viewing area.
Right, because this is net new space inside the hub of the Magic Kingdom where people can stand to watch fireworks or watch parades, right?
Exactly. And with that being said, let me tell you, if you were walking around in there and you didn't have any knowledge that it was going – because I had kind of heard that they were going to put – I had already heard there was going to be turf, so I kind of knew. And once you get there and you feel it, you can tell. But just if you just walk around in there, it doesn't look like turf. I mean, It's if I thought I could afford it, I would certainly put it in my front yard. Okay, so
I hear
it
you.
Doesn't look like turf. I mean, it looks like a putting green. I mean, it's that good looking.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and I didn't get to see it in the daylight, and I didn't see it open. Does the whole area look like it was shoehorned in, or does it look natural like it was always there?
Completely natural. Completely not.
That's all you can ask
for. I mean, maybe other than the fact that it all looks new. If that makes sense.
It does.
All the concrete looks new. So it looks new. But it doesn't look like it doesn't look like it's forced. Like, it certainly could have been built that way originally.
Perfect. And that's all you can ask for, right?
Yeah. No, that's it.
Anything else at the Magic Kingdom of interest, Jimmy?
You know, I mean, just talking about that area, they had that area open when the Festival of Fantasy Parade passed, and it offers all kind of ridiculous viewing areas.
Was it Fastpass Plus, or was it open to anybody?
No, it was just wide open. Now, will it be Fastpass Plus? It could be. I don't know.
Right.
At that point, though, they just had everything wide open, so... I mean, my daughter was sitting, like, in the little grassy area. I mean, there were people laying down, like, for picnics and stuff in there. it was awesome.
I love it.
I'm telling you, it's a great area just to go sit and relax and kind of chill out. And it's a great place to go sit and watch the parade. And it gives a whole new area to watch the parade. So I think it's really cool.
Very good. So I think for the sake of time, maybe we'll save the other parks for the next show and talk a little bit about Downtown Disney, because I know Jen was able to get down there too, right?
I was too. Yeah.
Good. So everybody got to Downtown Disney, which I wanted to do, specifically because I wanted to park in the new parking garage.
That's right.
Does it get nerdy at that point when you're looking to park a new parking garage?
No, it's because it was intolerable before that.
That's pretty nerdy.
Did you drive down, Jimmy, or did you take a bus?
We took a bus.
So in my photo report, if you go look, what was really cool about going to Downtown Disney, one of the parking garages is now open. There are more being constructed, and there's construction everywhere. But here's what was cool about it. As you approach the parking garage, there is a sign that tells you how many open parking spaces there are on each level of the parking garage.
That's fantastic. I don't know if it was a message that was going on or something that you had mentioned that. And I was thinking to myself, how cool is that?
It's cool.
You know that there's 4 parking spots available in that row before you turn down that row.
So exactly. When you go in, it tells you how many are in each level. Then as you go up the levels, when you turn in, it tells you how many are to the left and to the right. And then above each aisle, it tells you how many spots are in the aisle. So there's 4 parking spots if you make a left right here. How cool is that?
That's really nice. I was thinking because I'm thinking of the level, and that's in a lot of cities. But, man,
Now it gets even further.
Yeah.
Check this out. When you make the left, there's 4 parking spots. There's a little globe hanging above every spot. And it's red if there's a car parked in it. And it's green if it's open. Honest to God. So you can tell exactly where the open spot is.
That's so ridiculous.
You'll see it in my photo report. When you pull in and go into it, which I did, you park, you get out, and I looked, and it starts to blink red, and then it goes red. All the stats are updated live.
What's funny about that is that because of any other parking structure, there's people behind you, and you're thinking, you know what? I could turn down this lane, but if there's no spots, and there was a spot in the next lane, this guy behind me is going to get it, and it's like a gamble. Like, do I risk this lane right here?
It is. Just, yeah, do I go here? Am I going to beat him if I go down this one?
Right. Exactly.
That's and there's fantastic. More parking garages to come. So it was very easy for me to park there. Now, the parking garage is finished. They're still working on a bridge that will carry people across the road and drop you right into the middle of shopping at Downtown Disney, which is really cool.
That's cool.
And they're also working on a ramp that's going to take people right off of World Drive into the parking garage.
One thing I did want to bring up, just an interesting thing about Downtown Disney is I'm not a smoker, but I'm someone who enjoys a cigar every now and then. And me and my wife were walking around Downtown Disney and right in the west side, past the food trucks, is the Sosa Family Cigar Place.
Okay.
Fantastic. Big, huge walk-in humidor. Really nice. And me and my wife were walking around there, and I just wanted to go check it out. And I'm like, you know, my wife's like, why don't you go pick out a cigar in the humidor? I'm like, nah. I'm thinking to myself, you know, you can't walk around and smoke a cigar, blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of pointless. And then I overheard one of the guys working there telling somebody, look, yeah, we can cut it and light it for you here. And you can stay inside here and smoke, or we can cut it and light it for you. You can walk directly across to Bongo's.
Ah, the Cuban place. There you go.
The patio bar right across the street allows smoking.
There you go.
So I ended up going in the humidor and picking out a cigar and having them cut it and light it for me, and walked over to the patio bar at Bongo's, and me and my wife sat there and had a couple of drinks and
that's cool.
Enjoyed a cigar. So I thought it was very cool that, you know, it seems like one of the things that my wife noticed, who is a smoker, smokes cigarettes, the smoking areas in the parks are getting less and less. They're eliminating a lot of them. Most recently, I don't think it happened while we were there, but when I got back, I had read something about it, that smoking area in between Liberty Square and the castle, that little side path.
Back by the Tiana meet and greet place? Oh, no, you're talking the path on the side. I know what you mean.
The path on the side that runs right up along the left side of the castle, right by the Tinkerbell Treasures, I guess, is right there.
Cinderella Fountain.
Yeah, the Cinderella Fountain. Yes. That used to be a smoking area right there. From what I understand, they eliminated that, but I don't look for them because I'm not a smoker, but my wife is, and you know, she had noticed that there are a lot less smoking areas. So I thought it was interesting that there was a place that was tolerant of cigar smoking in downtown Disney.
There you go. So the another thing I noticed, right, when you leave the parking garage, at least in February, walls everywhere as you approach. And now I'm walking where Planet Hollywood is sort of on my right. There are lots of walls with lots of artwork, lots of advertisements for Disney Springs. Planet Hollywood is basically completely surrounded by walls at this point. And in fact, we just saw some concept art where that's going to completely change. In fact, what right now looks like a globe is going to look more like Spaceship Earth than it does its current incarnation.
Nice.
But it's still going to be there. Planet Hollywood will be.
When we were walking around, that was one of the things that we said I guess I hadn't heard. I think it was right afterwards that it wasn't those concepts were announced. Kyle and I were walking around all these new shops and all this new restaurants, and even just the theming on the bridges that, you know, kind of hints at the Disney Springs makeover is beautiful. And I'm like, how is Planet Hollywood still here? Like, how it's the only one that exists. It hasn't changed in decades. And then sure enough, we come home and
there's
it's changing. So it's,
Well, you know what's, I mean, how's that store and Hollywood
in Hollywood Studios? Yeah,
how's that existed for so long?
I hear you.
I mean, are you serious? I mean, I get it. I don't have anything against the brand, but I'm thinking, you know what? I'm bringing my kids to Disney, and they want to go buy a Planet Hollywood shirt in Hollywood Studios. I'm thinking to myself, no, put that back. You're gonna Disney. You're gonna get a Disney shirt. Damn it!
Where's
Mickey on that
shirt?
Planet Hollywood, all kind of different. You know, that's not the only place.
So one thing that I noticed, once you get past Planet Hollywood and you're looking straight ahead at the Wonders of Flight, the balloon that goes up and down, sort of to the left, which is the west side, versus the right, which is the old
marketplace.
It's the old Pleasure Island and then the marketplace.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep.
It all looking to the right, it's all construction walls. That's all you see. And looking to the left, looks a little more finished.
Yeah,
like you can't even to the one side where Raglan Road is. You can't even get to Raglan Road unless you go around, like this secret path of construction walls.
Yeah, and
like
part of that
specific road to get to Raglan. Yeah, it's like a specific path. Yeah,
and it's all construction. I think that it's the parking lot that used to go right up against Raglan Road is all dug up for this next parking garage, whatever it's going to be. And you know, there's a big bus structure that's going to go right in there too. But
there are some really cool new stores.
So looking to the left, and this is what I noticed, and my first thought was, okay, if you look to the left, there's a huge new Harley Davidson. And looking down towards where the Cirque du Soleil is, the only thing that's the same is the House of Blues on the right and the Wolfgang Puck on the right. The left is completely different.
I really think the Downtown Disney, just our experience, is a whole show.
It is. And looking at that left, all the stores, and I think, Jen, that's what you were alluding to before, hitting some of those. There's some cool stuff there.
Oh, absolutely. In the past, I would go to Downtown Disney every trip. I enjoyed it until the whole parking thing got too unbearable. But
exactly.
I would go into all the Disney theme stores. You're trendy and you're, you know, with a sports one that is now not there anymore. And of course, the new Center Place. And I mean, all of these really cool Disney theme stores, because that's unique and that's it. And the rest of them just didn't really appeal to me. But we actually, I mean.
Did Kyle get a hat?
No hat. What kind of hat?
Did you go in the hat? You didn't go in the hat store?
There's a hat store. Yeah, it's there.
Oh, my gosh, the top hat, please.
The Chappelle.
Yes.
Chappelle, he was like, Chappelle, there are really top hats in there. Yes, yes, yes.
There's like top hats. But
Abraham Lincoln hat.
There's like Kangos.
The Pharrell hat.
Yeah, there's like the Pharrell hat. But there's also like fedoras. And I probably tried on probably 30 different hats.
We did not go in there because we had to. I think that's probably on our way back, but we'll
you had to run a marathon
time.
The next day. That's
Kyle, I would definitely rock one of the hats in there. Unfortunately, I have a huge head, so it's really tough for me to find those hats that really fit me well.
But I did go.
Kyle's got style. Kyle would rock one of those hats.
Okay. let's not feed into that. I don't need a top hat around here. I don't think.
I don't know about a top hat, but maybe a fedora or
We did go into Sound Lion, which was awesome. I got some Bluetooth headphones. Yeah.
Nice.
Well, and as you were mentioning earlier, it seems like they are just as well versed in, you know, they put Beats up front, which I'm sorry, is like the crappiest sounding.
But it's the one everybody wants.
But they put it in the front, and then you go in, and I was kind of disappointed.
Product and marketing.
I was like, man, I thought this place was going to be high quality, and I walked in, and there's stuff that, you know, we use on stage where I sing other places, like it's like legit sound stuff, really cool stuff.
Yeah.
And the people there are super, super helpful, very, very friendly. So, I mean, it was a really good experience. I also had a similar experience at Sanuk, which is like I didn't even know what it was, but it's a shoe store.
It's a flip-flop store, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
And we found out it's owned by the same people that own Uggs and Tevas.
Wow.
So but the experiences there were so different. They were, you know, one-on-one sales, and but not like high pressure sales, just helpful people and awesome products. Yes, it was so cool. So I actually did like regular mall shopping there and got some things that, you know, weren't Disney related but were reasonably priced, as far as, you know, I would go on Amazon and check out the comparison, and they didn't mark it up any, just because we were at, you know, Downtown Disney. So there's some really cool shops over there.
Cool things I've noticed, talking about just shopping, and we were talking about Magic Kingdom earlier, and I forgot about this, is that right past the Dole Whip stand, when you go into the Adventureland, on the right-hand side, there was a store there, and it always had, like, Hawaiian shirts and stuff that in there. It's just a huge sunglass shop now.
Oh.
No, not, it's a sunglass hut.
It is, whatever it is. But yes, I mean, there's like Tom Ford, there's Michael Kors, there's Ray-Bans.
So it's
Oakley,
not just Lightning McQueen Tinkerbell.
No. There's hot. There is $400 or $500 pairs of sunglasses at this place. I mean,
that's what I'm gonna want to buy to lose in Disney World. Yeah.
Yes, I would lose those.
It's real deal. So there's, I forgot the ones I really liked. I've always seen them.
The $500 pair.
No, I don't know how much they're about 300.
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Either one of you ever watched the TV show Burn Notice?
No.
Gosh, a couple times a while back, but not enough to know.
So Michael Weston wears these sunglasses that are. Give me a second, y'all.
Well, I can add to that
while
you're looking. There is a, you know, I hear about on different podcasts, read different blogs, and they talk about the stores that are coming in and the Art of Shaving and all these stores that are only going to be found at Downtown Disney. And it's really funny because we have a mall down the street from us that has a lot of those kind of exclusive stores that are only found in certain places, and you wouldn't necessarily expect them to be in Cincinnati, but it's got all of them. And yep. all these stores that are popping up in Disney Springs are very familiar to me, but it's yes. kind of cool to have while you're there. So I don't know. I think it's really,
and there's a lot
definitely and changing the environment of at least that side of Downtown Disney.
That side's yeah. complete. There was no reason to go to the West Side previously, unless you were going to House right. of Blues or going to see Cirque du Soleil or maybe Disney Quest.
Oliver Peoples.
Ah.
There you go.
They're Oliver Peoples Victory. That's the victory is the model.
I'd still just lose them.
They're like, no, that's, I mean, I'm not saying I would ever purchase them, but I thought it was cool that they had them there. Art of Shaving. Man, I went in there. It was really cool. The guy was giving a demonstration to someone else on straight razors. I mean, he went through the whole thing, but he went back to like, the straight razor is like the best.
So
and
I
he
think
was kind of explaining how to shave with the straight razor and showing someone the ones they offered, and then he's like, "Well, this one's 600, and because it has a bone handle, and this one's," and I'm like, "All right, Kim, someplace to go." yeah.
So looking down there, once you get past Planet Hollywood, look to the left. There's a big Starbucks on the right, Harley Davidson's on the left, and all new stores. There's a soccer store that's dedicated to World Cup merchandise. There's the Candy Cauldron still there and D Street, which are probably the only two that I still recognize. But this is a great spot where there's a dozen stores just wide open, and it looks great. And I think that's a sign of things to come.
We went into the Starbucks, and which was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I was expecting a Downtown Disney mug, and
no.
they sell the Orlando mug.
But yeah. did you play on the blackboard?
I didn't.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so cool. Yeah, so they have, I don't know if you've heard about this, they have this interactive, like, touchscreen blackboard, and you can draw on it, and, you know, it shows kind of an outline.
Guess
you look
I'll
like you're
back.
In chalk. You look like you're drawn in chalk, like the people right in front of it, almost like a.
That's awesome.
Like it's got a camera. But then you press this little postcard, and it flips and shows you what's going on in Anaheim, and you can send messages.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I wrote
a message, and nobody responded, and I was totally disappointed. But I'm not terribly surprised that you didn't notice it, because the people that were sitting 6 feet in front of it, who were showing up on the screen, every now and then it would have this big message across. Touch to draw, touch to play, all these different things telling you that you're supposed to touch the screen. And when I walked up and started writing on it, they were like, "Oh my God, you can touch it." I'm like, "Yes, you can."
We didn't spend enough time, but we walked in
actually,
and looked around.
It's around the corner. It's like you have to go around the corner to that seating area. But I went into Starbucks looking for the blackboard screen.
Got it.
So
well, that's something
definitely
to look
tucked
for.
Away.
You know what? I completely blame you for not letting me know.
Sorry. Did you get a Butterfinger cupcake?
No.
Oh,
come on, not there at the Hollywood Studios. We just talked about that before too. I owe you one of those. So
no, we come me and on, Sam Jimmy. Did. Me and Sam did get.
We did carrot cake cookies.
Carrot cake cookie.
Yeah.
So all right. Speaking of Hollywood, speaking of studios, not far from Starbucks is the food truck park, which I heard so much about, but I really didn't pay any attention. But if you look at it, they're really permanent trucks that Disney's put in here, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. We walked around each one.
Right. You know, so there are four of them, right?
You know, there's a theme, right?
Absolutely, and I got pictures of all of them
out
there.
One's Magic Kingdom, one's Animal Kingdom, one's Hollywood Studios, and one's Epcot.
You have to add in there that the quote-unquote Magic Kingdom one, the Fantasy Fair, has
yes.
Disneyland corn dogs, not the
yes.
dumb corn dogs at in Florida. So it was great. That's very exciting. We had those last time we were in. And actually, as permanent as they are, I have to mention that when we were getting ready to line up for the 10K on that Saturday, the Fantasy Fair food truck was there. And I'm like, wait,
nice.
What? A corn dog at 5 a.m.? So
that's cool.
Nice.
Technically, they are portable.
You can
they
unplug
are,
them.
You know, they're food trucks. So.
Did they have the
they're
guy playing,
trucks.
Like, the – did they have the musician guy there when you were there, Jen?
For the food trucks?
Right in the food truck area, right by the water, there was a guy playing music.
Yeah, no, we actually didn't make it to the food truck park where they are now.
Had, like –
it's right by Starbucks.
I guess it's an oboe.
Okay.
But he was playing like a guitar. He was incredible. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Didn't.
It was like this guy, like, I don't know. Even it's not. I understand it's not popular music, but it's like this guy is so talented, it should be popular.
Yeah, we actually visited the food trucks on our last trip, and they were over on the original like marketplace side. They were sort of scattered throughout there. So, yeah,
so now right they build a place.
You're
for
right,
them
Sam. It's right, right next Starbucks. To the Starbucks. Right. Past the Starbucks. I mean, right there.
And it's part of it, it's their permanent location. It's a spot where you can go and get a taste of each park. I took some pictures of menus. You'll find it out at DisneyNerds.com.
The stuff at the trucks aren't necessarily food that you will find in the parks.
So the one that's labeled Epcot.
It's food themed too, because one of them has like sliders and stuff that I don't think you can.
Well, so
there,
the
but
theme is the one that has sliders is the Epcot truck,
right.
And it's supposed to be from the Food and Wine Festival.
What kind of sliders are they? Like the sliders from
on.
The Joy of
like lamb sliders or something?
Oh, okay.
I don't remember exactly, but I mean, some of it I was like, you can't get that in the park. But I think it's
grass-fed beef sliders.
Okay, there you go.
With Monster Jack Swiss pickles and house-made chips. There's a picture that
so,
I put on the.
But I think it's just supposed to follow the theme. It's not necessarily
yeah.
exact
yeah, it follows
food
the theme.
That you can
it's,
get.
It's awesome that they're there and there's a food
oh,
truck
it's
with
fantastic.
With
it's fantastic.
It's awesome. So and this it's is on the dogs. So the west side's looking good. Now if you walk over Pleasure Island and head towards the marketplace, Pleasure Island is nothing but construction walls. Let's be honest.
Pretty much, yeah.
That's what it is. When you get to the marketplace, the first thing I noticed, because you're coming from across Pleasure Island, is you end up right by where the Lego store is, kind of that area where T-Rex is all behind walls as well. And right where Lego is, the new bridge is open.
It's
so
beautiful.
If you know where Lego is, you look to the left, and that used to be all water. And now there's a bridge that will take you right to the lava bar at the Rainforest Cafe.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Pretty cool.
And they had some cool little did you see the little kiosks right before you get on that bridge? There's like a Florida-inspired cookie stand and a couple of other really cool things too.
There was a yo-yo guy there, Jimmy. I saw you put some pictures of that on Facebook.
The yo-yo guy. Oh, now you're calling me out. I can't remember his name. It's Sean. My son can tell you. It's actually the Dunkin' stand. My son bought a yo-yo.
A kiosk, yeah.
And he bought a – I don't know what you call them, but it's basically the little – it looks like a yo-yo kind of, but it, you hold the handles in your hand. It's like the little girl, little Chinese girls do.
Oh,
the Cirque du Soleil, and they spin they spin it back and forth, and they flip them around.
Yeah.
So he bought one of those, and he bought a yo-yo. And the next show, I'll tell you the guy's name. But his name's Sean. And we were talking to him, and he was so great with – my son and my nephew, who are 13 and 11, and he was doing all kind of tricks with this yo-yo. That was pretty much almost the same thing as the little Chinese girls do, but it's a yo-yo, but it's a off the string yo-yo. So he flips it over his back, he catches it, he does all kind of crazy stuff, and we're sitting there talking to him, and he's just very unassuming, and just the kids, you know, my son and my nephew were just completely enamored by him. So
it's cool.
So it was very cool. And but so they're all flipping out, and then they're talking, blah blah blah. And so he's like, well, this is my yo-yo right here. And so I'm like, well, that's not the note. My wife's like, that's not the yo-yo you're using. And he says, no, this is my yo-yo. And you take it off the rack and you flip it over, and he's on the back of the package.
Oh, that's cool. That's
so he's
cool.
Like a 7-time world champion yo-yo guy.
Is he always there, or was this just coincidence that he happened to be working that weekend?
He's like, look, this is what I do, but you know, I needed a job, so I talked to Duncan, and they said, you know what, you can work here. So
yeah, sign the packages when people
yo-yos,
buy it.
Is, you know, that's a job, and then he also does it. So my son and my nephew, they're like following him on Instagram and Facebook.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
They got like complete little man crushes on him. So
that's
they
cool.
Went back like after we left, and like the next day they said, we're going to go take a ride to
downtown
Disney and see Sean.
It's their new friend.
I know. Right.
That's cool.
So,
I'm going to go see Sean.
Right. So they're
I love it.
They're hanging with Sean now. And I can't remember his last name. I will.
You'll get it for next show.
I will get it in the next show. I promise I'll get his name. And I think he's even has his own hashtag.
So the cool part of those kiosks, which are all over, that I noticed, the bridge that I talked about. Yeah, the middle of it's a bridge, but there's really lots and lots and lots of room for Disney to add these little kiosks with these little vendors to expand the shopping beyond all of the stores. And now you have all of these little areas where people are shopping, and the bridge goes right past Fulton's Crab House and heads over to the Lava Bar, and it really cuts down on how far you had to walk to get there previously. I really like it.
Well, the other thing that's interesting is not, I mean, you know, talking about the yo-yo stand and all that, it's not Disney. He had a Dunkin'.
No,
he works for
not
Dunkin'.
At all. This is a kiosk for anybody.
Yeah, they rent that space.
It's like a Harley-Davidson store. That's got nothing to do with Disney. But you go inside the store and there's a bunch of bikes you could sit on and take your picture and do all kind of cool stuff. Harley-Davidson Orlando. It's family friendly across the board, that's for sure.
Do you have a Harley, Sam?
I do not.
I grew up riding Harleys. I want one so bad.
Once you have kids, you can't buy a motorcycle anymore. Sam, could you see Sam sitting on a big hog with a do-rag on?
Yes.
And like a leather vest?
I totally could.
Oh, yeah, with Mickey on the back of the vest. Done.
Leather vest with his colors on. You have like a Mickey or something on there.
So the other cool part here, looking from the bridge, there's a whole bunch of construction over near where the little train used to be. I don't know if you guys are aware of that train, but I always keep my kids away from it because it's a couple of bucks to ride the little tiny train around. You know what I'm talking about.
I just went to Disney World,
and you want $2 to go on this little train. Come on.
I don't want to talk about it. It does make a nice big circle,
and you can walk across the bridge. But there's this bunch of construction, and it is going to be a margarita bar. I saw the concept art and took some pictures of it. Mm. It looks pretty cool. Not far from downtown Disney, sort of catty corner to Ghirardelli's, if you know where that is.
Cannot be as good as the Italian margarita, but that's a different story.
Different story. We'll save that for another one. And right. I tell you what, guys, we've talked a long time about our trip. March Madness, Flower and Garden started. All we talked about was Magic Kingdom and downtown Disney. We got three more parks to talk about, for crying out loud. That's got to be next time.
Let's do it next time.
So guys, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for listening to us. Remember, thedisneynerds.com. And by the way, let me introduce some new email addresses for us. If you have any questions for the show, please email those to questions@thedisneynerds.com. And if you want to reach any of us directly, Sam@thedisneynerds, Jen@thedisneynerds, Jimmy@thedisneywords, and Ed@thedisneynerds. We'd love to hear from you. thedisneynerds.com. Thanks so much. Kongaloosh.
See ya.
Guaharini.